الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين، فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم، ومن دخله كان آمنا، ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا، ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, we find that at the moment, alhamdulillah, we are now in the season wherein all the hujjaj are preparing to leave for those sacred and mubarak lands. So therefore, it is appropriate that we mention a few things with regards to this. Many of us have, alhamdulillah, had the good fortune to have performed this wonderful ibadah of Hajj. And many will be undertaking it. And in each and every person has an intention and has a deep-hearted desire to fulfill this great obligation of Hajj. And this is the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he had left his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam and his wife in that barren land. Today when we go to Makkatul Mukarrama, alhamdulillah, we find that it has been the amount of construction that has been done there, the shopping malls, the lights, the infrastructure, the streets, and the wonderful hotels. So sometimes we tend to forget what the initial stage of that Mubarak land was. But if we look around Makkatul Mukarrama and we just gaze at the mountains and we focus at those mountains and we imagine and we separate those huge buildings, in our imagination we separate it from those mountains and that Mubarak land, then we will understand what that scene must have been when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam left his family in that land, in the scorching heat. Again, it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we must not misunderstand. For a person just to leave his wife and children without making proper arrangements, this is against deen, against the shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this was a hukam of Allah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was a nabi of Allah. And it was the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should leave his wife and leave this masoom little child in this Mubarak land. We find that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the world his status and the kind of love and obedience he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two unique qualities found in Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam which really stood out. And that was the excessive love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and total obedience and submission to the command and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama ikram explained that it is because of these qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such maqbooliyat and acceptance that till today we remember Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam not only verbally but we also emulate his actions. Allah ta'ala had granted his actions such maqbooliyat and such acceptance that till the day of Qiyamah the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will emulate those rituals which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had carried out. His love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had made constant dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be blessed with a child. And after many, many years, ulama ikram explained approximately at the age of 80, Allah ta'ala blessed him with this beautiful child, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. Now we can imagine at such an age, to be blessed with a child. We can imagine the bond, the attachment that there must have been between the father and the son. And he had definitely great love for Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. To test what kind of love he has for Allah. Is his love for Allah more or the love of other things? More than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was such a test that we know the months of Qurbani and the great ibadah of Qurbani will soon be at our doorstep. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was not a sheep or a goat or a cow that was placed before him. For him, the command was to sacrifice this son of his, which was a part of his heart. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam showed unwavering obedience, total submission and obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And immediately he complied with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carried out this action. But it was the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he did not want that to happen. He wanted to see the love and the obedience of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So everything was put aside, but the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was more. A lesson in that for us, that we are not asked to sacrifice those things which we love dearly, which are halal. All we are asked to sacrifice is those things which are harmful to us. We find the Shariat, we have heard many times from Hazrat Maulana, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all those things haram upon us, which are actually harmful for a person. As Maulana always says, in haram there is harm. In everything that is haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us away from something which is harmful to us. So it's actually the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been prohibited to do those things. If we take alcohol for example, we know the harms of it. The benefits are very little in comparison to the harms which are inflicted upon a person, not only himself, his family and the society at large. And we go across the board, we take adultery, we take stealing, whatever it is that the Shariat has made haram, the taking of interest, gambling, it is harmful for the individual, harmful for the society and harmful for his family. We do not have the time to elaborate on that. But it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has prohibited those things which are harmful for us. Therefore we should sacrifice this evil desire which we have. A person, if he has a good desire, then to fulfill that good desire, there is nothing in which the Shariat prohibits him from that. He is allowed. The amount of things which are halal is so much. We have so much of halal food, so much of halal entertainment. And there's so many other ways to fulfill one's halal desires. But when a person has got a haram desire, then he should, just like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, sacrifice that evil desire for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he left his children and he left Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam and he left his wife in this barren land. But the dua that he made, he said, Ya Allah, faj'al afidatan minan nasi tahwi ilayhim. Ya Allah, cause the hearts of people to incline to this Mubarak land. So we find that every single Muslim generally, alhamdulillah, no matter how far he may be from deen, but he will always have that attachment to these Mubarak lands. And we will always find a person who has gone for Hajj. If you sit down with him and you speak to him about his Hajj experience or his trip to Hajj, then you will always sense that he has got very fond memories of this place. And this is the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the months of Hajj, ulama ikram explain, immediately or very close to the month of Ramadan. And the reason for this is that the ibadat of Hajj is a very, very great ibadat. And in the ibadat of Hajj, there are many, many lessons which each and every one of us can learn, whether we are going for Hajj or whether we are not going for Hajj. But there are many lessons that we can all learn from this ibadat of Hajj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed this month of Hajj immediately after the month of Ramadan. And the reason for this is that the month of Ramadan, we know, was an opportunity to spiritually overhaul our hearts, to remove those dents, and to gain the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to come out of the month of Ramadan, wherein the person has the ability to restrain somewhat his evil desires. Because we know in the month of Ramadan, a person is commanded to abstain and to refrain from those things which are normally halal. So over a period of time, a person develops some type of self-restraint. And that makes it much easier for him after the month of Ramadan to stay away from those things which are impermissible and haram for the person. So now when the person then proceeds to this Mubarak land, he is in a much better position to receive the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get this contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He wants to forgive His servants. He wants His servants to gain forgiveness. He wants His servants to become close to Him. And He's looking for different opportunities to forgive His servants. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah ta'ala's rahmat is such that it envelops and it encompasses everything. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He looks for opportunities to forgive His servants. But we at the same time should not take advantage of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find many people say, when you tell them they give up sins, they say, no, it's alright, inshallah I will give it up. But Allah is merciful, He will forgive me. Now a person is playing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is playing with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a person to say that Allah ta'ala will forgive me, but I will carry on committing this sin, is a very, very dangerous thing. If a person commits his sin and he has got regret and remorse in his heart over those sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can still forgive him. But when a person justifies his sins by saying that Allah will forgive him, and he doesn't make the effort for sincere forgiveness and sincere repentance, then there's a great fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away the ability and the tawfiq to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, beautifully writes in Fazail-e Hajj, and is encouraged that every person who is going in the direction of Hajj, that he should try and read this kitab. It really conditions the person for this great journey of Hajj. And he mentions that this journey of Hajj, it reminds a person of death. If we look at the journey of Hajj, as we take it from the initial stages, and as he moves further into the Mubarak lands, and from there Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah, a person is reminded of death and is reminded of Akhirat. Now if we look at a person when he leaves here, when he prepares for his journey, then we find that he makes the necessary arrangements for his travel. Whether it's the changing of his currency, whether it is the packing of his bags, but he makes all the various arrangements. He meets his various family members, he requests them for forgiveness, and they come to meet him. And those people who are close to him will come to his house. Some people will meet him in the masjid and greet him. Some people will come to his house and greet him. And those people who are even closer will go to the airport. In today's time, they will go to the airport and they will see him off. So in the same way we find when a person is about to leave this world, and then people who are close to him will come for his janazah salah, and those who are more closer will perhaps come to his house, and those people who are even more closer will come right to his graveyard. But thereafter he has to continue on his own, on that journey. So we find the person as he boards the plane and he starts traveling. Sometimes we find the person will travel alone. But he has with him his necessary documents, he's got his currency, he's got his dollars or his riyals, and he's got his bag. These are his provisions for his journey. Sometimes a person will have his mahram. If it's a woman, she will have a mahram with her. Or a person might be traveling with his wife. So this person is very close to the individual. And he will be a companion with the person. Now if the companion is a person of good character, a person who has got tolerance and got sabr, then we find that this entire journey will become very, very easy for the person. But if the person is ill-tempered, or the person does not have tolerance, or the person is inconsiderate in nature, then we find that once they undertake the journey, it becomes very difficult to travel. In the same way, if a person has prepared for himself in the akhirah a good companion in the form of good a'mal, then these good a'mal will accompany the person and they will be of great benefit for the person in the grave. On the contrary, if a person has got bad actions and he has not done good actions, then this will be a means of difficulty and takleef for him in the qabr and in the akhirah. In the same way, as a person travels through this journey of Hajj, when he reaches his destination, he will don his ihram, again reminding us of those sheets, the kafan, which each and every one of us will have to wear. Whether a person is rich or poor, whether a person is qualified, whether he's a doctor, lawyer, scientist, or whether a person is an ordinary businessman, or a person is a normal laborer, or a student, whoever it may be, no matter what his condition is, finally that will be his final garment which he will have to wear. That will be his final abode. No matter how great a person's palace and house may be, how large it may be, but finally he will have to go into that qabr, whose space is so limited, respected elders and brothers. So that will be our final abode, where we will remain therein forever and ever. A person might live in his house for 50 years, 60 years, 30 years, depending. But he will live in the qabr, he will sleep in the qabr forever and ever. So this entire journey of Hajj, it reminds a person of Qiyamah, it reminds a person of Akhirat. And a person in the midst of that crowd, a person learns that he is nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the midst of those thousands and millions of people, all the same before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it develops a sense of humility in the person. And it's an opportunity to unite the Muslim Ummah. So we find in the ayat al-kareema which I quoted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards the gist of the ayah about Makkah al-Mukarramah and the sanctity of that Mubarak land. Mubarakan wa hudan lil'alameen. It is a blessed place. A place full of barakah and blessings. And we know in the Hadith Sharif we learn that every amal in those Mubarak lands is multiplied thousands of times. That is why if a person gives 1 riyal sadaqah there, it is as if he gave 100,000 riyals. And 100,000 riyals, if we turn it into rands plus minus, it works out to 200,000 rands. Now a person, if we tell a person give 200,000 rands charity, a person will say it is impossible. But even if a person cannot give 1 riyal sadaqah, but merely reciting subhanallah one time, because in that one hadith sharif, some sahaba ikram, may Allah reward the sahaba ikram, so many lessons they taught us. Certain sahaba ikram presented themselves before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the wealthy people have taken away all the thawab. We don't have any real thawab. Because they perform salah like how we perform salah. They are able to do all the amal that we do. But Ya Rasulullah, they have one virtue over us. And that is, they are able to give sadaqah and charity, and they are able to get much more rewards than us. So again, look at the enthusiasm of sahaba ikram. Look at which direction they were. And what was their focus? They were concerned that how, Ya Rasulullah, we also can get great stages in Akhirah. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are feeling very depressed about this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consoled them. And consoled every person who might not have the means to give that kind of charity. He said that every single subhanallah that you recite is sadaqah. Every single la ilaha that you recite is sadaqah. Every single step that you walk to the masjid is sadaqah. Merely picking up something from the pathway which would be harmful for others is a form of sadaqah. So, every person has the opportunity to do these actions in this Mubarak land, multiplied many, many times. But at the same time, respected elders and brothers, just as good deeds are multiplied manifold, in the same way if a person commits sins in this Mubarak land, then we find that too is multiplied many times. And that is why we find a person when he goes to those Mubarak lands, we find that many of us are engaging in such actions which are bringing the wrath and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If every single haji goes for hajj, and he performs a hajj, and he gains a hajj which is maqbool and mabroor, we can imagine what will happen in the entire Muslim community. But we find when we go for Hajj, people are losing their tempers. People are casting evil glances. In the famous hadith which is mentioned in the kitabs of Hajj, one sahabi was seated with Rasulullah s.a.w. on his camel. And they were in the rituals of Hajj. And this sahabi, again we must never ever look down upon sahaba ikram. Because it mentioned by ulama ikram that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes made the sahaba ikram commit certain mistakes and errors, so that the entire ummah will learn from their mistakes and lessons. But after they made those mistakes, if you look at history and we look at the lives of sahaba ikram, that when they committed a mistake, what was their reaction after that? What kind of tawbah and istighfar they made? The famous hadith of that woman who had committed adultery, She was then stoned. One Sahabi expressed, he made a statement which was not appropriate. Nabi Sahib, with regards to this woman, Nabi Sahib said, do not say that. Put something to this effect, do not say that. For this woman has made such a tawbah that if it is distributed amongst the people of Medina Sharif, the community and the inhabitants of Medina Sharif, it will be sufficient to forgive all their sins. So this is the tawbah that the Sahaba Ikram made. So it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these type of mistakes. So this Sahabi, while he was in Hajj, he was casting glances at the woman. Immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him to control his gaze. And then he said that that person who controls his gaze, who controls his ears, and controls his evil desires, then this person will get Jannah. So respected elders and brothers, this is for each and every one of us, that even though we may not be proceeding to those Mubarak lands, we have to also strive to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can only be achieved by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and controlling this evil desires and staying away from those things which will earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, bringing that theme which was found in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another important lesson which we learn from Hajj is sincerity. And that is because in the ayat kareema Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, that perform Hajj and Umrah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this lesson of ikhlas and sincerity must come in every action of ours. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants all our hujjaj who are proceeding to those Mubarak lands a Hajj which is maqbool, a Hajj which is mabroor, and allows them to return to their hometown completely forgiven. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist the Muslims throughout the world, and make it possible for each and every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fulfill this Mubarak obligation of Hajj. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.